head coach of the Toronto Raptors, joining us right now, Dwayne Casey. Coach Casey, how are you today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, man, do I need to talk to you, Coach.
Yeah.
It has been... This is,
you guys in some heavy stuff out
there. This has been the worst thing ever.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, how you doing, sir?
Yeah.
Doing good. Getting back in the swing, and guys are rolling back in town, and... getting started working with our young kids, you know, daily, and preparing with our staff as far as our season plan. So this is a fun time for us, getting ready, an anxious time to start preparing and, you know, kind of see what we have, what we've added this summer, which I think we've added some really nice pieces. We re-upped the guys that we needed to get, and the addition of Lou Williams and also James Johnson coming back to us. Really strengthens the core group that we have.
How much of the World Cup are you watching, Coach?
A lot. I record them and rewatch them. And
hope everyone stays healthy.
And I hope please, and cross my fingers. Yeah. And because it's very unfortunate what happened to Indiana, and you feel for those guys. But like I tell everybody, that could happen in any gym guys are working out in, because we want our guys working. They've got to work. It's unfortunate, but you do hope the guys come through it unscathed, and so far so good. Knock on wood, DeMar has one more game. But again, I think the experience far outweighs the risk. I know there's a lot of debate about whether they should play or not, but I do know that this has helped DeMar so much. Just being on the practice team in Las Vegas over the summer has helped Jonas so much. Going through the experience of getting knocked around and going against guys each and every day at night, like Cousins, Gasol, and those guys in the summertime. So the reward far outweighs the risk of our guys participating in it.
Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey here on Tim and Sid. I'm not going to say with any certainty, Coach, that I saw all of Lithuania's games. In fact, I can tell you I did not see all of them front to back. However, based on some of the stuff I was reading and caught a little bit yesterday, Jonas was getting in the trenches. He was getting dirty. What did you see him do over the last week and a bit that you think bodes well for this coming year?
Well, just the confidence of going against guys, you know, like Cousins, and getting into a body-to-body thing. Again, he's still learning. He went down with Hakeem this summer to work on the nuances, the footwork of the league, of the NBA. He's still working on that. But just going through those atmospheres, I thought going into the playoff, guys, last year, that the pressure of the playoffs at the beginning did not bother him. He had played in so many meaningful games in the summertime with his Lithuanian national team. And you talk about pressure, that's pressure, having to play for your country in those situations. So he was... The moment didn't bother him. I thought he kind of got to him at the end. By the time Game 7 got around, I thought the pressure of the moment got him. But at the beginning, he was ready for it. So that experience going through the summer for him is huge. He's still developing his footwork in the post. He struggles a little bit against the banging. He's got to understand to be more, if it's such a word, as finesseful in the post. And those are the things that's the reason why he went down with Hakeem in the summer, to work on his timing, taking his time, slowing down. And again, he's a work in progress, and he's getting better each summer.
Dwayne Casey joining us here on Tim and Sid. There were times of visible frustration with Jonas from teammates, coaches, himself, understanding some of the systems. Mm-hmm. Can this help him at all with that, or is this just physical and psychological?
It's time more than and patience. And I probably, I pushed him a lot last year in practice and during the games. And, again, he's going to make mistakes. Young guys, his second year in the league, I think the expectations were for him to come in and just be the cornerstone of the franchise from day one. That doesn't happen very often. So, if I was frustrated, it was from a good place as far as wanting him to be better, wanting him to improve quickly. But, again, right. I've got to control the patience level for him. Also, T. Ross, our young guys, you watch the development of DeMar. DeMar from day one when I got here is day and night from where he was, but it took time. So it's a process, And again, what we had fortune of last year, we had an opportunity to win and have an opportunity to win now. It in the process of those guys growing and developing into veteran NBA players.
Dwayne Casey here on Tim and Sid. You mentioned DeMar. Obviously, the minutes DeMar was going to get in this way different than Jonas's role on his team. However, just for DeMar to be part of this, Coach, what does it do for him?
Huge, huge. You know, confidence. You know, when he comes back now, you know, his confidence level should be sky high. You know, going into practice against James Harden every day, going against Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry, guarding those guys in practice every day, going to the basket knowing Anthony Davis is coming at you. You can't duplicate that in drills or even pickup games in the summertime, having going against those guys each and every day. So that alone is going to elevate his game. And I'm watching him now, guys. His passing is off the charts. The way he's facilitating, the minutes he's getting, he's going in and finding. Those are just positive things that are going to come. And just, you know, just his place in the league. You know, he's kind of put a footprint down now. Hey, I'm one of the top guys. You know, I'm on the Olympic U.S. Olympic team. That should, you know, he should walk around proud as a peacock, as my grandfather used to say all the time now. And that's going to help him in so many ways, as it will Jonas participating in those games.
Does Coach K afford you the opportunity to have a conversation about what you want from the situation?
No. I mean, again, you trust that, you know, they're getting some of the best coaches in the world, and Coach K, Jim Boeheim, and Tom Thibodeau from that. So I know Tom has been on DeMar on his defense, and, you know, he's talked to him about that, and he's fanatical about that. So that's great. So, no, I just, you know, we text back and forth DeMar over there and just talk about what I liked, what he did. I loved his passing. You know, he can be better defensively and that type of thing. Kind of, you know, whisper that to him. But again, the way he plays and what they want him to do kind of has to be a team thing.
Other than you, is there a better coach than Tibbs to get on DeMar about his defense?
I don't know. I tell you what, DeMar, you know, he's gotten better. But in his exit meetings this year, one thing I told him, to get to the level of the next level. You're already an NBA All-Star, but to get to the next level, the elite level, you've got to become a much better defender. And he, again, it's not from the lack of trying. He's far more focused, but he can get much better defending. And like I told him, he should be take it as an insult if you want to say, let's go put James Johnson on Joe Johnson. Let's go put Terrence Ross on a guy you're guarding, unless it's foul trouble. But you should take pride. And he did it a few times last year. Come in the huddle, I've got him. And that, as a coach, that's what you want to hear. You want to hear guys take the onus and saying, look, I've got him, I'm going to stop him. And DeMar, for his credit, he's grown into that. He did that a few times last year, and we just want more of it.
Dwayne Casey, head coach Toronto Raptors here on Tim and Sid. Coach, before we let you go, there was in a week of stories that just no one really wants to hear, one of them involved Atlanta and some comments that Danny Ferry made. Your thoughts on that story initially when you heard it?
Well, you know, again, in the context of the story, you know, you want to understand and know what the context was. You know, we all were recorded and things were put out in the paper, what we've said, we'd all be in trouble. And I know I would be. So, again, I give Danny the benefit of the doubt from that. The way what was said, it's unfortunate it got out or whatever, and was, you know, no one really knew the understanding of the context. And I think the only concern you have is for a guy like Lou Alladang, who is one of our premier gentlemen in the NBA, it came out about him. Because, you know, knowing Lou Alladang as a person, as a man, you respect him. I thought Masai, his comments in today's paper, said it eloquently, far more eloquently than I can say it. But again, most of it is about context, you know, is how it was. And if he meant it in a racist way, it was wrong. And I didn't see it as a total racist way, and it didn't mean, you know, and knowing Danny, I don't think Danny is a racist per se. From that standpoint, so it's hard for me to comment on it. But again, it goes back, you know, and I think Adam Silver has done a great job of setting the tone for our league. There's no place in our league for exclusion, racism or anything, and I think our league should represent that. I think it does. I wouldn't be sitting here today if it was about exclusion. It shouldn't race, gender, country, nationality. I think, you know, we're striving for a league that includes everyone. And I think, you know, Adam Silver is going about it the right way. And again, the only thing is what being an African, saying that, I think, you know, most African people that I know are beautiful people, are genuine people, are good-hearted people. And so I just wouldn't like to know more about what he meant by that comment. And, you know, that's the only thing. And again, it goes back to context.
So, and then that context is important. And separating from that incident, do you ever feel like, I mean, I remember being in a high school locker room and thinking that was kind of like a bastion of family, and we were allowed to say things in there that we wouldn't normally say in other places. Has that changed for you over the last, say, 20 years?
No question. Yeah. And believe me, that's the instant, we're in the day of instant everything. Instant
right.
Coffee, instant messaging. And I tell guys, once you push send, you got to make sure, you know, you want to send, because once you do that, it's all over the world. It's out there. And we have to be careful as a society in sports, me as a head coach, what I say, how I say it. Because again, it's once it gets out there, you can't pull those words back.
Right.
And you know, I try to you know, speak the truth, but you have to be careful in speaking, careful in your words of how you say it. And the owner, Bruce Levinson, I had an opportunity to interview with them a few years ago, and I felt like he was one of the most genuine gentlemen owners that I'd been around. And but his email came across as being, you know, being close, you know, in those situations.
Yeah.
But from a business standpoint, if you looked at it that, you would say it's talking about demographics.
Right.
So it's very, but again, that's why we all have to be careful in what we say, how we say it, especially from this side of the microphone. And
right.
And because once you put it out there, whether it's in print or on the phone or whatever it is, it's out there.
Yeah. I think this week has taught us that. Coach, really appreciate the time that you take, and it was nice talking a little basketball.
Thank you so much, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.